September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Prof McGaw feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, premieres September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show.
Yes, Bing is for doing. Yes, and we are doing Boardwalk Empire. Finally back. I'm Kevin Undergaro with AfterBuzz TV, and I'm across the table from
Bethany Jaber.
Ebony K. Williams.
Ebony K. Williams is also an attorney, so we're excited to have you with us this season. We're going to be counting on that because we're breaking a lot of the laws.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I can't wait.
We were all so excited to watch this first episode. And like you guys are saying, like, this is like the movie, you know, it's like being excited for a movie. It's crazy.
I was even more excited than a movie trilogy or anything of that sort. It was a little like, you know, Christmas morning. We get to see all of our old friends again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a Trekkie, but I felt like this must be what it's like for them, right?
To be a Trekkie.
Yeah.
I considered dressing up, so I guess you're right.
Yeah.
For this?
Yeah.
It's, you know, because with this, I feel as though we are watching, let's see, if there's 12 episodes, 12 hours, I feel like we're watching a 12-hour feature film.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
And I would sit in the movie theater for 12 straight hours and watch this.
My only disappointment is that they didn't do like a 2-hour special just so we could get hit with all of the exposition right away and like get.
Do you mean like a recap special, or do you mean just a 2-hour premiere?
No, like a 2-hour premiere. So we're not waiting, because like last year I felt like I it was like the third or fourth episode where it started getting really good. Not that I'm complaining. Okay, I am a little bit, but I was kind of hoping for something like that. But I get it. They have to make us wait and want.
Wait and want. And then I think also, like, if you're running HBO, then that's another week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can split that from 2 hours, you know, an hour each week to get more.
Yeah.
Get your view, stretch out your viewers. But I mean, for me, I was so excited to see it, but I'm very pleased with the episode and. Mm-hmm. So much to talk about, right? The title of the episode was Resolutions, and it's a year and a half later. We're seeing women's freedom and children.
Yeah,
you know, seem like the two things that themes that are running throughout this.
And it's funny that it's titled Resolutions, because I didn't feel like anybody was having any resolutions.
Well, we saw Al Capone, right, at some point kind of talk about making one and then breaking it. But, yeah.
Well, you know, it's resolutions because it's New Year's.
Yeah.
So we're going into a new year, and that's when you make your resolutions. But, oh, yeah, no. If it's only, I mean, the only resolution is this, we're going to, there's no, the resolution is going to be we're going to have more insanity, chaos, battles. I mean, very far from it.
I felt like the resolution made by each character was, it's mine. Like,
well, you know, speaking to that point, when you see everyone reach into the treasure chest for the gold, it, you know, and I know there's talk of pigs. And of course, we know Manny's a butcher and everything with these guys, you know, whether it's Vince Gilligan or Terrence Winter, it all ties together, which is why they're so genius. But, you know, we've talked about it before, but in history, this reminds me of the bling era, you know, which, you know, a few years back here. This is the gluttony in our country we were having at this time. And it was, you know, right before the fall.
With the housing boom and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, but we see it. It's still ramping up. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting more gluttonous. Everyone, like you said, wants more.
Everything's up for grabs.
Right.
Everything is still up for grabs.
Everything's up for grabs. Land, you know, alcohol, women.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But the, you know, speaking with the women's freedom, the one thing we couldn't understand was this was it this Carrie Duncan chick that they keep going back to her. All I could say to myself was, well, is this a real figure that we, a real historic figure that we never heard of? Maybe she was the poor man's Amelia Earhart, didn't make it. And, you know, almost like comparing, say, Tesla to Edison, you know, like, is it one of those things?
Is it,
you know, and we looked it up and it doesn't seem like, I know, you know, we go up 10 minutes after the show, but.
So we could be on the fence with it,
but what I think was maybe that was by design. So maybe that she kind of represents kind of more like a symbolism so that Margaret can kind of project, you know, her own kind of wish for freedom onto it. Mm-hmm. And it's not kind of so concrete is maybe one thing that I was thinking.
It's just a wonder because usually they go with... they'll go with a historic figure.
And they even, during the party, they reference Howard Carter because, you know, at that point...
I want to ask you about him. Was he a famous explorer?
You know what? The last thing I remember about him was doing my, like, sixth grade report on him.
And was he a famous explorer?
He discovered, I believe, Tutankhamun's tomb and uncovered it. And supposedly it was, like, the first real archaeological discovery in Egypt, although they really just kind of raided the tomb and took all the goods
and made
a mess.
But by the way, see what you're getting into? Do you think that's a coincidence?
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What you just said, which I'm so glad you said that because I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So you think Terrence Winter and the writers,
I'm sure,
were playing to the fact that of the gluttony and just went in and made a big mess and just took a bunch of the spoils.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing a PBS special a couple of years ago being like, and then they were talking about Carter's expedition and saying just like how awful it was. Mm-hmm. Like they could have found out so much more information, but they kind of just took all the gold being like, look what I got. Not really investigating the tomb.
So maybe, you know, back in the 20s, how much more could have been done? Yeah, they were saying back then we're entering. Believe it or not, they had called it. Rothstein said last season, "We're entering into the information age, gentlemen." And they were it was more communication, radio, all these different things. So it's interesting. At least with Atlantic City, maybe more could have been done.
Yeah,
as opposed to the gluttony and whatnot, and just it was great the symbolism of talking about this strip of sand, and who would have known that. You know, as he was saying, that all these things were being built, all these things were going on. And of course, we know that to be Atlantic City what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm still, you know, maybe by next week we can find out what's up with Carrie Duncan. I mean, at least we all understand the symbolism of it. It's a woman flying. She's taking a big step. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it throughout the episode. We see women, you know, the women kind of being held down.
And we didn't see much of... What is her Margaret's child's name? I can't remember it off the top of my head, but you know, one of her inspirations for the Children's Hospital, and you know, this wing is because her child suffered from polio and couldn't walk.
Right?
But
so do we assume she's dead?
I don't know.
Maybe, no, we saw her in one scene.
We saw her in the background.
Yes.
So it'd be interesting to see if she can walk. I mean, you didn't beat polio back then.
No. So I mean, but it was.
I mean, consider the fact that 15 years later. FDR succumbed to it. So we haven't. So it's interesting. And speaking to that point, you know, talking about the boy king, we see tons of a lot involved with children.
Yes.
We see Margaret's boy,
mm-hmm.
who's always been just a little bit on the creepy side. a little bit of, you know, he's the one who's been kind of aware of what's going on.
He's much bigger now because
he's bigger.
A year and a half has gone by. He's curious.
See that he's, well, we see Butnucky's rub off on him because he knows how to introduce himself to people. He knows how great he was, you know, but he's always lingering. He's around. He's looking at he's listening to the radio. He knows how to work the radio and just interesting. And then you go over to Jimmy's child.
Tommy.
And again, we'll get into this as we break it down a little bit more. But it seemed like those were the two things going on in the year and a half that's passed. You know, we see at least the main themes of this episode. But anyway, as far as the a year and a half later, what stood out to me was the opening with what seems to be our new nemesis.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
It's funny with these shows, you know, it goes back to Sopranos. I always say, like, it's usually one season, there's one nemesis per season. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that nemesis can make it two seasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes three before they get it. But it seems like this is going to be our new guy, Jeff Rossetti. He's Sicilian. And I can say, as an Italian person, it's well known that the Sicilians were the most crazy, vengeful, to the point that many of the Italians would always tell you, like, well, there's Italians and there's Sicilians.
This is true. I've heard this growing up.
That they're a whole separate beast. They're almost embarrassed of them. It's just like they're afraid of them. It's just get them out of here.
Their own special brand of crazy.
Yes. So it's interesting.
I've always wanted to go to Sicily, and that's one of the reasons I...
don't go with Rossetti.
I don't know. I might go with Bobby, though. Bobby Cannavale. He is the sexy man.
I love what they're doing with him, though, because I love that insecurity that a lot of the thugs have. I mean, we see it with Al Capone, that same kind of insecurity. Remember last year, he's insecure about the sun. He's insecure about image. He's insecure. And we see with this guy is anytime you make him feel stupid, you know, it's obviously pushing or like a mutt or a mule. It's a button you push. And again, I can speak from our culture, the Italian culture, especially I think of my grandparents who are off the boat. It's a chip on their shoulder that they have, like, you know, oh, you want us to dig the ditches because we're Italian. You know, it's all, you think we're the dumb one. And I know a lot of, you know, cultures have it.
Sure.
But I see it. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of experts believe is why the mafia was started. Because they were like, this is what, we're not getting ours. No. The Irish speak English, so they can acclimate, they can become policemen, they can become politicians.
But
the Italians...
Why the Irish machine came about.
Right, and they didn't have that. So they're like, okay, well, but we deserve it, and we're going to get it, so we're going to get it with our guns.
Yeah.
I mean, don't we see it? We see it with all cultures. We see it with a lot of minority cultures. We see it with the blacks. We see it with Latinos. You know, they feel the same way. It's like, okay, well, if I'm not going to get respect, now I'm going to show you my gun and get it. But the Italians... it seems to me they were the first ones to be like this. And if you go to the Northeast, they're still like that.
Yeah, sometimes.
A lot of them. But anyway, so my point is when I saw him do what he did, it was like, oh, wow, that was, to me, I bought it.
I mean, talk about an opening statement for an opening scene. He not only did he take the power, he took the dog. Like
he took the dog, around. But I feel like that was to acclimate. That was to say, see, I'm cultured too. See, I'm smart too. Mm-hmm. But when you see him down in the basement, it seems like he has this way of catching himself. Typical Italian. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I have to say, like, I've been the guy screaming, and sometimes I've get to a point where all my buttons will get pushed in a meeting in Hollywood, let's say, and I'll get like that, and then I'll look around the room, and I'll see all these, like, civilized people who are, you know, who know how to play the game better, and you kind of freeze, and you get embarrassed, and you go, I was just kidding, you know, and I thought that was perfect.
You know, I feel so way with my husband.
Wait, he's like that?
I'm like that because I'm half Italian.
Like that.
And
so
I'll be like,
crazy?
What do you mean? I can't believe that just happened. And he's very English and he'll just look at me like, he's like, darling, don't be so Mediterranean about it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
It.
Because, like, the English are, that's why they're the best. Those wasps, forget it.
Yeah,
you can't beat them.
Like,
but I like the fact that he always, he takes the step back. look, he looked around the room. And again, I just think it's great writing, great character development. I totally buy it.
And I'm happy to see Bobby in this type of role, because I mean, I know he's been on other networks, but the thing that I feel like he is most recently in some of our minds is his role on Will and Grace as Will's boyfriend, where he was like the big lovable sad guy who was like very weepy. And so to let him kind of, I mean, I've seen him flex his acting muscles on Broadway because he's a great Broadway actor, but to see him in this respect on TV is really very fierce and
it's very
and frightening.
Spicy. It's very spicy, right? I mean, it's like muy caliente, like incredibly hot.
But I love that. That's why I love it. God bless Cable. Because it really, as you know, Bethany, we know you're an actress and you get a lot of recurring roles on these shows. But isn't it great with Cable that you can get a chance to how many times we just see, you know, from Bryan Cranston to even, you know, smaller characters. There's a guy who plays Mike. He was on Breaking Bad. He was a character actor that was in I think Beverly Hills Cop. He had a small role. And now to see him in his 60s in a starring role playing, a different character, but you see it a lot. Man, I've been watching, I'm catching up on Sons of Anarchy, and the same thing. I'm seeing so many of these actors that I remember as a kid on other shows, and then seeing them get a chance to, as you said, flex their muscles.
Yeah.
I see that a lot, too, from old Law & Order actors. Because actually, the Rossetti character, he was on a Law & Order episode as well. Like, HBO is amazing with kind of...
It's the most fertile, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's like a breeding ground of HBO
But Cable in general, too. It's like AMC and FX. And anyway, it's great. And I think we're going to be seeing a hell of a lot more of him.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited because we needed a different type of gangster on here.
Yeah. You know?
Well, somebody that could really go toe to toe with Nicky. I mean, I think that, you know, the Michael Pitt character was great, and we all missed Jimmy, and it was awesome. But I don't think anybody so far that I've seen seemed to really be equally yoked with kind of just the vengeance that we see from Nicky.
Right. We've seen them in other cities, but like Al Capone or whatever, and he's still in his Muppet baby stage, as I say. He's not really Al Capone yet.
Right.
But they're in another city. So to have this guy, and he's, you know, he's formidable sized, and man, when he went around the table, you know, you and the Joker, he said, I forget what he said to Rothstein, and man, he's throwing out the digs. You're a kike, you're a heeb, you're this, and you pasty-faced.
Thank you for saying it, because I wasn't about to use any of those words.
Well, I'm just quoting, but and again, real guys, that's how they talk.
Yeah. You know? No, he dropped like 5 racial slurs in 2 seconds, and then he dropped them. My favorite was calling Nicky a breadstick with a bow tie.
A breadstick with a bow tie.
But he kind of is a little bit.
Is.
I'm sorry. It's a reoccurring theme that I don't have a lot of love for.
And I don't want to get too into predictions, but you know who is going to be, I want to see this guy go against?
Chalky White.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Speaking of Nucky, so we see Nucky in an interrogation with Manny the Butcher and Doyle, who just the weasel now has weaseled his way into kind of a sweet deal with Nucky.
Hey, he's a survivor.
He is a survivor. Man, such a weasel. But that's your classic weasel. They always avoid the big hit.
Yep, and he's avoided it season after season now, and catastrophe after catastrophe. He is still kicking around and creating new alliances everywhere he goes.
Did you notice... well, both scenes, the Tabor Heights scene, but then the breakfast scene and throughout, how dark, you know, the lighting was and throughout this. But especially the opening scene was so dark, and then it was dark for the interrogation. Speaking specifically to Nucky, we're seeing he's much more sure of himself. Remember Jimmy said you can't be a half gangster?
Yep.
He's a full gangster now.
Full gangster.
Absolutely.
Right?
100%. It was a really well-played scene. It was complete, like... 100% empathy until he starts walking out the door. He's like, I understand your role, man. I get it. You're a thief. It's totally cool. Like, you were just doing your job. My guy wasn't doing his job.
No, but what was genius about it was that he was able to make a statement to Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, actually, you were doing your job. My guy wasn't doing his job.
Right.
And so it was genius. He made the statement. Got the name of the driver, and I feel like the old Nucky would have probably put the guy to work.
Right.
And the guy would have been very loyal to him and very scared that. But this is now he's a full gangster.
He's ruthless. He's absolutely ruthless.
I feel like we should just coin that phrase, the new Nucky, because he in that opening scene, he's very much a new man.
Can't be a half gangster.
Nope.
Now he's a full gangster.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
And just kill him. And of course, you know, he's got the art Manny the Butcher to take care of it. And we I know we watched it. We rewound it just to see the wide shot of his head getting blown off.
Well, that exterior was just... I mean, you have that like three picture window there with Doyle just watching it, one window empty, and then the other window where the action is taking place. And it's just, it makes you feel like somebody's, that there's some judgment going on, that somebody outside of it is watching what's happening. Yeah.
Almost, it felt like, did it feel like Hitchcock?
It felt like Hitchcock. I'm just going to say that. Yep.
It's mm-hmm. Hey, man, that's Tim Van Patten.
Yeah.
Ebony, that's your job. You got to get us Tim Van Patten on the show. I got to get in that guy's head. He's such a great director. Jillian and Richard. We catch up with them. We see Jillian landed on her feet. So no surprise. Running a brothel.
Feet or back.
Right. Or back. But it was interesting. We were all a little puzzled about how she's running the brothel.
It was really, the dialogue was confused. I was confused.
Well, I think she's the opposite of Nucky. If Nookie's a full gangster, she's half of a whore, right? Like, she certainly plays that role, but she really doesn't want any of the sinister and darker attributes of that.
Or, you guys, is she so good? I mean, this is someone who was with the Commodore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, she goes so far back, and she's so full of gangster wisdom. Is she so good that... she knows how to provide the product that people are going to want and to have people coming back for more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't see it like that she's half invested or not. I see it that she's so smart.
She is.
And again, speaking to women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, we see Margaret like always kind of struggling. It's almost like Margaret gets ahead and then falls back. But this lady... she's got her new son, her new Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right? She's got her bitch in Harrow, mm-hmm. Richard, poor Richard. And she's got a business, and she knows she's going to use all those women to service the politicians.
Sure.
I mean, think about the position of power puts her in.
No, she's incredibly entrepreneurial and incredibly aware of what she's doing. I'm just saying I think she wants the packaging to be much less. Kind of
she doesn't want to be a street whore.
Yes.
No, she's very high. Again, she was with the Commodore in this ginormous mansion.
Right. Yeah, these are courtesans, not prostitutes. She's trying to
She's a smart lady. Yes.
Did you notice that she signed her son's name at the very opening of the scene?
Yeah, when she was paying the bills.
Yeah. Yes. So
okay, so that means the Commodore's money went to Jimmy, which went to the son, which went to the next heir. And that's why, that's interesting. If that's true, and if that is true, it's interesting that she didn't just say, okay, let me buy a big place on the beach and have a good life, that she just has that in her blood, the need for power to have a brothel or whatever it is that she is doing.
I think she's just been like institutionalized in that way. Like that's all she knows.
That's all she knows.
But don't you wonder about that with people sometimes? You know,
no,
sometimes,
I don't wonder.
I think it is. Like it is. It's just the way that they function. Sometimes you see somebody, I don't know, be it on TV, be it somebody you know,
a client of mine.
You're like, okay, you have enough money to go out, to leave where you're from, just, and like have normal life.
It's in your DNA.
And they just can't.
They don't know how to function in that way.
It's what you said. Some people it's institutionalized because it is. That's all they know. And then I swear, other people, it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
It's that story of the frog and the scorpion, the famous story.
Ooh.
You know, do you know that?
No.
What?
I didn't know the frog and the scorpion.
What? You guys.
What?
Oh my God. It was made famous in The Crying Game, but it's actually a very famous, fable. And the frog is about to swim across the river, and the scorpion says, "May I have a ride on your back, Mr. Frog?" And he's like, "No, because you're going to sting me and kill me." And he's like, "Hello, if I sting you and kill you, we'll both drown. Why would I do that? All right, hop on." So off they go, they're swimming across, and halfway across, the scorpion stings him.
Oh, no.
And the frog said, "You're stinging me. Are you crazy? Now we're both going to drown." He said, I can't help it. It's in my nature.
Mm. Oh.
It's just sometimes it's just in people's nature and they can't help it.
Yeah. Well, that would be Jillian.
Yes.
Right. Just can't help it. Mm-hmm. Just can't help it. But poor Richard. I mean, it's good that Richard landed on his feet.
He's a survivor, though, right?
He is a survivor. Yeah. But once again, he's an outsider, too. But you know, he's doing right by the son. You know he's going to give the only humanity that kid's going
to
get.
That was the most heart-wrenching thing of the entire episode to me. You know, just him trying to explain to this poor boy, you know, you actually have a real mother, not this mm-hmm. hot mess. And she was a beautiful woman. And
she painted.
She painted. Right? And she painted me. And, you know, just really personalized her. And we all obviously saw Jillian react really, really badly.
Okay, and the big eraser.
Yes.
I admired their choice to put Harrow in a setting with Tommy in like the freak show in the circus.
By the way,
where he felt most comfortable.
And yes. Genius. And did you notice that's the pretty much, and again, we'd have to see this episode again, and we will. It was the first time we saw color. Because it had been so dark and now it was like so colorful and mm-hmm. bright. And it felt like to me Richard was, as you said, he was in his world.
In his element.
In his element with the freaks. But then also, there was life. This kid has a chance. You know, he's the innocence of childhood. All that stuff, it's all there.
Do you think he has more of a chance than Nucky's new son with Margaret?
Definitely.
Yes. Okay.
Because of Richard. Only because of Richard.
Yes. Yeah.
Only because of Richard. And you see Richard just... Even that, he's shooting the horses, and of course, he's just an amazing marksman. And the guy hands him a cheap pinwheel. He's like, okay, that's enough, bub. Like, yeah, he won one little pinwheel. It's like, I just want Richard to catch a break.
Oh, I'm really hoping with that new girl in the brothel that, you know, because that...
Yes.
Yeah, I when they introduced her, I was like, oh, please, please, please be Richard's love interest.
She said, he's a war hero. Well, she... In a way, Jillian validated him mm-hmm. by saying he works for me and he's a war hero. So it's almost like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
When you're in power and you introduce someone, you know.
Absolutely.
She gave him credibility.
And the right.
Instantly.
Right.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, we'd love to see him get.
Laid?
But,
yeah.
Yeah. Or so, well, no, we've seen him get laid, but I want to see him just get some love because remember that's what Jimmy kept saying to him, we're going to find you somebody.
Yeah.
Remember? But anyway, I'm just glad he's back because, you know, you could have written him out.
Well, we saw just how back he was at the end, right?
Right. We see he's back. So we'll talk about what happens New Year's Eve. In the meantime, you know, our fans out there, please, if you would be so kind as to go to iTunes and rate and comment on our show. It's very easy for you to do. Just take you a few seconds. It helps. It really does. And I know we've always gotten positive comments on Boardwalk Empire. We look forward to those, but also questions, comments, anything you think helps. We love doing it. And again, you know, for us, we do this because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
We give a lot of time to do it. If you guys could just do that back for us, we really appreciate
it. Yeah, we would love that. And we love reading them too.
Yeah, they're fun.
It's fun.
People really like you. And you'll see Ebony now. They're going to fall in love with you too.
Oh, yeah. Exciting.
Yeah.
Can't wait to fall in love. Yes.
So, you know, I always get excited, you guys, when we go to Chicago.
I know. Yeah. What is your fascination? Like, you just love
because
Chicago.
It's the history that at least we kind of know. I mean, I've known people who actually met Al Capone.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, his kid was alive up to, I think, about a year or two ago.
Oh.
And actually I got his number and called Bob's.
No.
Wow. Yeah.
What did he say?
He answered and I introduced myself and said, oh, you know, I'm a writer. And he denied, oh, no, that's, you know, it's not who you think. And no, he had changed his name. And still, I mean, but, you know, that's how... 80 years later, the guy had changed his name and he stuck to it and just totally stayed away from it. So I'm very fascinated with that world because that's the you know, to me, the real origin of mob culture, mm-hmm. at least the glamorized version, right, was Chicago gangs and Al Capone. And to see, every time I see Al Capone and see how they're making him grow up. He's not
really...
Al Capone yet. He's Alphonse Capone. You know, even his suits, they're not really slick yet. They're just, mm-hmm. you know, he even you know, later in the episode, you see him like in a brown suit. It's not, he's not there yet.
He's yeah. still developing his swagger. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, crazy Italian reacting and being crazy, you know, yes. the same way as we see with our new friend, Rossetti. But I love seeing it. It was, in a, but it was very interesting in that scene. And I think this is motivated, but, the character of Dino Benigni was very flesh colored. You know, there was a lot yeah. of color in his
peach.
Face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And yet they were talking about him being from Naples mm-hmm. and how dark people are in Naples. It seemed like it was a, you know, what they were going for. And then comes this guy who's not very dark at all. He looked actually fair.
Yeah.
But
I was very confused.
But his, well, I think it was all,
okay.
you know, for a reason.
Yeah.
But it, one of the things I know for sure is that he was the one that had color in his face. But then when you go to Torrio,
yeah.
very gaunt, gray, and Al was very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a number of reasons for that. Yep. We know by history, we know Torrio dies.
Right.
But I know that might be a spoiler, but it shouldn't be a spoiler.
Does he
because
die? I'm just curious.
I don't
if
know
he
if dies he dies
Naples.
On Boardwalk. I don't know if he dies yeah. in Boardwalk Empire, so that's not a spoiler. But we know historically
yes.
speaking,
right.
he dies, and that's okay. how Al so. Assumes control. Mm-hmm. But to see this guy come in again in a rather colorless, up to that point, colorless episode, and then this guy comes in with this face, you know,
we're kind of
having color to it. It was interesting. But then again, he was also fair complected. He wasn't like he was dark-skinned or dark-haired. It was just interesting. But we see him really razz Al Capone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And push his buttons. And then we don't go after Al's kid.
No.
Yeah, he takes that very hard.
It's, the whole thing, it's funny because I feel like Al could just eat him up and spit him out. I didn't feel like when you see Rossetti, you're like, oh, okay, you're a definite threat. I did not necessarily feel like Dino was a threat.
No, but I think.
But he's oh, sorry, but maybe he's changing the lay of the land a little. What's going on?
Well, I think he also was just kind of benefited from the protection of knowing that Torrio was just against any type of conflict in that way. So just mm-hmm. whatever, he kind of knew there was in the best interest of Capone and the rest of them to keep the peace.
Right.
He benefited from that.
But we know mm-hmm. he's somebody because the way he came in
yeah.
with the swagger and the way Torrio is so respectful. Now, it could also, what might be symbolizing the end of Torrio is the fact that Torrio is being so polite with him, whereas Al's more aggressive. And we know, at least in the short run, that Al's aggressiveness was successful in Chicago.
Absolutely.
So Torrio, it's his time might be passing. Maybe it's not in his best interest to kind of kiss up to this guy and keep calm.
I am with the absence of Jimmy. I'm just really curious how we're going to keep the Chicago link going. I'm fascinated to see.
Well, we
how
know.
This plays out.
We
yeah,
know.
Well, I guess no. We do know.
We know how. So we'll get to that when we talk about New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Speaking of why we know.
Yeah.
Interesting to see Mr. Van Alden going door to door selling irons.
Bless his heart.
You know what? I think he deserves it.
Deserves what? To be selling irons?
Yes.
A little comeuppance.
He has been horrible.
Yeah, he has
he
been horrible.
He's been just a big old pain in the butt. He's not helped out anyone.
How great is it? He's at the door of a guy who's distilling alcohol in his bathtub.
So great.
And he's on the outside trying to sell this guy irons. The guy's completely disrespectful to him. And then that amazing long shot by Tim Van Patten, where we dissolve as he goes door to door to door to door at every single one, door closed in his face. It's New Year's Eve, bub.
I know.
But I think that kind of shows the institutionalization of his character, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's all he knows. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, working for the federal government or selling right. these irons. Like, he's just a methodical
extremist. And, you know, it's funny.
Guy.
It's great that you brought that up. I've said that often about even people in history who are heroic. Like, sometimes I look at Malcolm X, for instance. He was the extreme gangster, you know, back in the day.
Point.
And then when he flipped the switch.
Extremely for peace.
For yes. peace. And, mm-hmm. like, didn't cheat on the wife and
yes.
didn't drink,
right.
nothing.
Right.
And sometimes I just wonder if it's just having that extreme switch in you. So I agree. Like, so whether it's stopping booze mm-hmm. or selling irons, he's just so methodical and by the book.
It's interesting you bring that up because, you know, the heroes and villains all share the same characteristics. The only thing that separates them is their ideology.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's what I found interesting was that he didn't push the issue with the boss. I'm like, okay, you're following the rules again, Tim.
We'll get to New Year's Eve because that's our New Year's Eve recap. Because we're laying down the seeds, but New Year's Eve was when, to me, everything was revealed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You're right. But just a quick thing. He was in Cicero before that, and now he's in Chicago. So because that's where he ended up last season,
right.
Which I believe is in Ohio.
But you know why I buy him getting to Chicago, because you need to make money for your family, and you know a setting like that, there's going to be more money to make.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And back then, so what great times to be a criminal, because you know there's no data system. You change your name, you're good.
Right.
Have we even got to finger? We're not even fingerprinting yet.
Old days. So sad.
It's crazy.
Anyway, and then let's talk about but last but not least, Margaret. We see her walking through the hospital, and we feel like she's got some power now. We see the way she's running the staff at the mansion.
She's
planning the party.
She's the lady of the house.
She's the lady of the house.
And a philanthropist. And I find it very interesting that they choose to have that party at her house, at her home. They're a couple in society. She's a woman in society.
Well, she was feeling herself, is how I like to put it. From what humble beginnings we come is Margaret. You know, she's taken to this incredibly well. It's fascinating to watch.
And yet it's always like one step forward, two steps back in some ways, because when she gets to the hospital, she sees a woman who gets sick and collapses, feels badly about it. You know, she has that Catholic moment. That's the old Margaret, who's like, oh my God, like this poor lady, I want to find out what the story is. And then we get this arrogant doctor who's, you know, looking down on women and saying, yeah, you're just some bim with your husband's money, but this is really what needs to happen. And I don't even know why I'm bothered telling you, because you're just a bim with your husband's checkbook. And she takes that hard. And of course, anyway, it just seems like with Margaret, that's she's still struggling with that.
But I think she should have taken that hard because, you know, she was walking around really smug, right, when she was walking the wings and very, very proud of herself and this plaque we see of, you know, the Thompson's ward. But when it comes down to it, when the doctor called her out, she's really not about anything. You know, what do you expect me to do about it was kind of her response to.
You're talking about New Year's Eve?
No, in the hospital.
Oh, in the hospital.
When the young, arrogant doctor was telling her, you know, these women need prenatal care information. You know, they need this, they need that. Aren't you on the board? Aren't you going to do anything? And her response was, what do you expect me to do about it?
Yeah, this is why in past seasons, I've always really struggled with some of Margaret's storylines, because she goes from not knowing to getting the information to finally doing something about it. But I get cranky with her. Because
I know you do. I love the character.
So
you do get cranky.
I really do. I'm like, get some balls. Do something.
She does,
and she will.
She will. She's getting there.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a lot of people that are getting deeper into hell. I'll use this dirty money to do good things, and then you know it's every step. All these all stepping through these circles down into hell, you'll see more of her in that regard. But it was interesting too, just the slam on women, like, you don't know how to take care of your bodies.
That's so interesting. That's how you saw that, Kevin. I didn't see it that way.
You didn't see it that way?
No, I thought that he was really advocating for there to be more information, because his opening statement was this was preventable.
Right? I agree.
Yeah.
But I also think he was saying, you
women like her,
you dumb whores,
her
drinking your raw milk and blah blah blah. That it to me, that's what it seemed like. Okay. You're too stupid to help yourselves, so we have to tell you. I mean, he was just arrogant as arrogant. I mean, I don't know. So,
I have so much to say on all of this.
Please say it.
I don't think there is even enough time.
Well, only because Amelia Earhart, the Amelia Earhart ripoff, whatever, and a woman flying and trying, and we know that this is the women's right to vote, and all this stuff was happening in this time period.
Sure.
That's how I took it.
I just feel like there's been a lot of information throughout history where, you know, God, oh, now I'm going to go into a whole other thing. Do you know throughout, like, the history of, like, the vagina, per
no,
se?
But I'd like to like, know.
Like,
I'd love to
like,
know.
Physicians and just the actual diagrams, like, of just historical diagrams, it's in the book, The History of the Vagina. They've lost the clitoris 7 times. Like, they've been, like in different points in history, people have been like, oh, my God, women have a clitoris. And then they'll forget about it for, like, another 100 years, and they'll be like, oh my God, look at this thing.
Why though?
It's I think that it was, we're reaching a time where women are going into hospitals and having babies in hospitals, and you know, midwives aren't existing anymore, and so there's just like, it was like we had all of this information and then it just disappeared, and it you know, a lot of it during the Victorian age was because we didn't talk about it. It was not appropriate to talk about. So it's, you know, I don't know. I kind of like, yeah, you can kind of blame men if you want to, but it's not like women didn't know this before. It's just that the information got lost and they have to relearn it all over again. Does that make some sense? Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so we're just at a point in history where they have no information about something as simple as raw milk.
But it's the 20s where women started smoking.
Yeah.
Like before that was like unheard of. It was like, oh, how unladylike. Now they can smoke, they can drink, voting, all this stuff is happening for them.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens until 1970.
And yet they don't, you know, there's just, there's so much poverty and uncleanliness. And, you know, we're in an industrial age and they just don't know really how to take care of their bodies. Prenatal care is just non-existent.
Yeah, that information's just not out there. I think
that's
what he was trying to say, and was challenging Margaret to kind of put your mouth where your money has already shown up and really be that advocate.
I agree. I think he was doing that. I think the bigger statement the writers were making is that's what was slamming just a little, another like slam at, they weren't slamming the women, they were slamming how society treated
and
women, talked about women.
Yeah.
And interesting too, you guys, remember, I think this has to be a callback to the boardwalk, the first season where on the boardwalk they had the live babies, the preemies.
Right. So weird.
Right? So weird, but so they said true, historically accurate.
So weird.
And you know this has to be a callback to it. And again, this whole episode, I still, it's about kids, you know, and or one of the things, you know.
It it scares me for women's health. But I also think it's a commentary to women's health now and what's happening with, you know, with Congress and the Republicans and who's making the decisions. But we won't get into that debate.
Yeah, you know what?
We'll be here all night.
And for the sake of this show, I'm just going to be like the rest of them back then. Who cares? let's just drink.
It's going to a dark place.
So wait. But bring us back to a good place. What the heck is going on Fox Tuesday night?
Okay, now I have to segue into that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, face it. We all love a good comedy.
Yes.
It's human nature. And Fox premiere Tuesday is stacked with them. First, Zooey Deschanel is back on the season premiere of New Girl. And boom, just like that, she's laid off and looking for work. Then, Family is a Funny Thing. From the producers of New Girl, it's the new series critics are calling one of the year's best new comedies, Ben and Kate. And I'm actually really looking forward to this one. I don't know if you guys have seen the previews.
I have seen the previews, and I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, then the season premiere of New Girl keeps on rolling with another all-new episode. I know, it's sweet. And then finally, this is the one I'm most excited about, is Mindy Kaling has a brand new office. It's the series premiere of the new comedy, The Mindy Project. I'm telling you, if you're looking for Night of Laughs, Fox premieres Tuesday, has got you covered, beginning September 25th at 8 p.m.
This is like a big deal. I mean, they feel as though this Tuesday night block, they want to go after that, the old Thursday night block that NBC had back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I know Zooey is just so talented.
She's...
And beloved.
Absolutely. She's a lot of fun. And I really like Mindy. I anytime we can have some female comedy writers, I'm all for it.
Well, they seem like they do the best work. I mean, we say it even on the show Girls on HBO. Sure. It's, you've got this one girl that's writing and acting. And
yeah.
I think so. Well, I will.
know.
I'm going to be tuning in. So please, our listeners, give it a shot. And always helps AfterBuzz too. And I think probably we'll probably, I know one or two of those shows we do, although we don't do a lot of comedies.
You know,
I guess we're not a lot of fun here.
Well, you know, there's, you can only really repeat the jokes. I think with the drama, you like get to lay into the psychology of it and be like, why did they do that?
Characters are arcing and changing and things like that. All right, so finally, you guys, let's talk about New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So New Year's Eve, like so much ends up going down. Let's talk about Al Capone showing up at the florist. Okay. Well, no. Before we do that, let's talk about Van Alden.
Sure.
Right?
I mean, here's my question. Why didn't Van Alden recognize Al Capone?
Again, you know, by the way, was he enough, a big enough player?
The last time that I can recall seeing them together was when all the big players got together in that restaurant one time, and Al Capone was out by the car with Jimmy, and Van Alden was kind of stalking the restaurant. So I guess they wouldn't have bumped into each other.
He wasn't in the papers yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So I buy it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said Van Alden first. No, let's talk about Al Capone. He says, I'll see him later. Interesting, because the play on hearing and seeing. Mm. He's like, I'll see him later. And so he shows up in his little brown suit, not quite Al Capone yet.
No, he's so cute.
And Dino is, you know, says, geez, you're off your leash. He goes, yeah, I chewed it off. I, you know, chewed myself free or whatever he says, which is just awesome because he is such a pit bull. And we know what he's going to turn into later. But there's Van Alden to sell his wares.
Just at the right time.
Look sharp. What does he say? Look smart, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and he steps right in and kind of saves the day with this guy. And I'm so excited about it because I know where it's going to go. But anyway, but he ends up. So he gets free flowers and he
gets all of this stuff. But here's my question.
24
what's
irons.
Up with flower shops and gangsters? I said that so properly. But what is the, like, why thematically is it a place for them to
for gangsters?
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know,
but I'm thinking maybe it's just really glamorized. You know, like, I think it's all just very kind of, there's like a romance and kind of glamour around the whole
idea. I'm curious if it's historically accurate or if the juxtaposition of somebody who's violent and bloody is then in, like,
you know,
a really pretty flower shop with colors.
The people I knew back home had... It was always like fruit business. It was sometimes, or it was flowers.
Laundromats. Flowers. Laundromats are big.
Laundromats, not that I knew of.
In Providence, laundromats.
Laundromats
were the
thing.
You got to wash your money. It's, car wheels, like detailing shops. Those are the front stores.
Oh, those are the great places. Yeah. I need a speaker shop myself.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it's interesting to say it because on the sign it said, you know, birthdays, anniversaries, funerals. Mm. And I was like, oh my God. And I thought something was going to go down. But everything came clear to me in that scene of why this guy has color in his face and why he stands out from them. Because now we know Van Alden and him are going to unite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So Van Alden goes back to, you know, his New Year's Eve party, which is so dark and so drab. Do you really think that he knew it was 9 or 10?
He thought it was absolutely 10 o'clock.
I bet it was 10 o'clock.
I bet
the
you
dude
it was.
Just changed it.
And just changed it because he was a drunk, and it was like, that was the era. Like, what are rules for? We changed it. Who cares? You'll still get paid for the 24 things.
And just like anything, all games are rigged in this world that you know, Terrence Winters has created. So
so
he can't play. He can't play honestly there.
No. And so you just see the face and you can just see where he's getting so crapped on in that world. No matter how many times he looks in the mirror and recites things to himself.
No, and we know just by the nature of his character, he'll continue to let bad things happen to him. And he'll take the hit until he explodes and loses it.
Oh, well, before we even get into what his alliance will be with this guy, interesting. So he's married. He's made the nanny. He has another baby with the nanny.
Yeah.
And he's made it work. And again, speaking of women, she's more like she knows her place, but she has a very, the last shot of her is a look of strong disappointment. She's like, we'll be lucky in 23.
Yeah.
But then she looked very...
Oh, she was clearly...
Really disappointed.
Unhappy. She wants a house.
Yes. Yeah. Who doesn't want a house?
I know, but you know, back in... wait. Before you say that, it's back in the 20s. And yeah. Again, knowing the at least the Italians in the north end of Boston. Now, the north end's very high end. But back then, it was poor people in these little apartments. And they were all happy to be there. So it's interesting where we've seen... We see Jillian and her quest for power. We see... Margaret struggling with it, and now we go to her, and even she's not happy.
No,
with this, you know, with this situation. So it's interesting. It's interesting. He met somebody that he's married to somebody, and that she wants more, and he wants to give her more. Mm-hmm. But now we know the ticket is punched, and when these two, when you get a guy like Van Alden on your team,
I don't know.
So Dino's going to be in a great position.
Yeah. He will.
And it's great. I'm so glad we're going to continue to see Van Alden, because I was like, what are we going to do with Van Alden if he's now a criminal? He's on the run.
Right.
How do we... So now it's okay. He's a criminal. So he'll be a... So why are you shaking your
head? I agree with you. I'm much happier with Van Alden as a criminal.
I know this is more predictions, but is he going to assume the role of a criminal, or will he eventually get back into breaking stills?
I think he'll get back to, because that's his nature. His nature is law and order, actually.
Is order, just, you're right, order.
Order, for sure.
Right.
And I think he has a preference.
And the law
for
helps
being the enforcer.
That order.
Right. So I think we'll see him kind of try to go full circle in that way.
Well, it may be a matter of this is, you know, like by taking out Capone or being a thorn in Capone's side or whatever. It's going to be interesting. It's, I'm really, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Talking about women, what about the butcher and his wife? He's like, Happy New Year. And she's kind of like, no, that's really more for the goyims.
Yeah. I mean, because is today New Year's? Is today tonight
Rosh Hashanah?
Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
But for the goyims, they have their New Year. Mm-hmm. And just to get drunk and puke all over each other and be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Whereas in Rosh Hashanah, there's more tradition involved. And I think that's what that was about. And he got a lucky hat, and then...
And it was not so lucky.
Not lucky night.
She seemed...
literally, the moment that happened, as she was giving him the hat, I was like, yeah, I guess they're going to keep Manny, because he's such a great character
to
write.
He's so tough.
He's such a great character to write for.
And he made a deal with Nucky, so I felt we were going to, you know, play that out.
Yeah.
He broke off on his own thing. And
he's such a great actor to write for as well, so I thought they were going to keep him, but I guess not.
What do you think the significance was of his wife? Was she showing it? Were we seeing more of the traditional wife, or were we also seeing yet another strong woman kind of fight for hers, where he was like, I need to have New Year's Eve with my wife. She's having a party. Of course, she was having nothing.
I don't. My best guess is that it was just trying to create like a little bit of empathy, and because Manny has been so awful in the past, that it gave us a moment to really like him and felt like there was a loss for his life.
Right.
I mean.
But I bought it. Yeah, I bought that he was familial.
Right.
Yeah.
I bought that he was a family man, and that and you know, we see with Rothstein too, where it's like, this is business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then this is family, you know, so.
But we're moving into gangster territory now.
It's a mess.
You really,
it gets,
you know,
messy.
Yeah.
Which I'm so surprised is why they had that event at their house. Nucky and, sorry to shift gears, but Nucky and Margaret.
He's a philanthropist now. He said it.
Yeah, I don't know, inviting all those people over and having them in your kitchen.
Well, he's
crazy.
I just think they're really showy now, you know, right? They're very social.
But by the way, that's how it was back then. You had to have the chief of police in your pocket, the mayor, all those events.
It's still like that, actually.
Right, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of chief of police, we have not seen Eli.
Yeah, next week.
Okay, next
even
week.
Nucky. Didn't you saw the previews?
I know, but I just,
we'll get,
you know,
to them.
Like, you know,
we'll get to them. But you know, it was interesting. Richard blowing the butcher's head off shows that Richard, that's just unfinished business for Jimmy, right?
Absolutely, and Angela too. Even I almost feel like it was almost more Angela, right?
Right.
Because
right.
you know, that whole scene, you know, your husband did this to you, Manny, you know, offs Angela. And I think Richard's connection with Angela is just really, really, really intense. And we see, we're seeing it more and more almost after her death.
Did that come after his conversation with Jillian?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like he's not, you're not just going to brush her, her life and her death away in Richard's world. You know, and she meant something. She was a beautiful woman. And by golly, somebody's going to be accountable for her loss.
Do you think that that's the end of him making people accountable?
No, indeed.
Is he gonna he's gonna go after more people? Yes.
I feel like that's the beginning.
That's the beginning, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I love Richard. He's awesome.
He's so awesome.
He's amazing. But even that, it was like, what are you doing tonight? For me, that just shows who Jillian is, because hello, we have a house full of women, and you know, but she's like, what do you, you know, get out of here, in other words, right? Yeah, like, what would he be doing, lady? Really?
Yeah, I don't, I mean,
like, why wouldn't you say you can hear, you know, are you going to hang out with one of the girls or maybe one of the girls?
Because she's a smug,
ice cold.
She's smug. She's awful. Yeah.
She is, and she doesn't, you know, now that Jimmy's gone, what else? I mean, there's not much left for her to lose. I mean, besides Tommy. But I mean, this is... This is her world she's creating. She does not have to answer to anyone anymore. Before, she kind of did have to answer to her son sometimes.
But no, she
answers to no one. I think she's the only woman in our series that answers to no one.
Right.
You know, because Margaret still has to answer to Nucky, whether she's
absolutely
sure or not.
Yeah. Well, all the other women, in some way, it's a battle for power.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so. Talking New Year's Eve, we probably should go to the very opulent. Once again, color is back when we go to the party at Nucky's and Margaret's.
I want to talk about the chest for a second, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because people actually, they really did do that for years. Even in, like, I remember reading about the Vanderbilt's parties in, like, 1908 and, like, 1918. They would actually, like, put, like, diamonds in sand and be like, everybody dig!
Wow.
And they would go and dig, and people would get, like, rock diamonds. Like, this was a very common occurrence.
Great Gatsby. I mean, think
of
that's what it was.
It was totally normal.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there was such a dichotomy between rich and poor back then.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a time with no taxes.
Right.
For a lot of these people.
No, none.
So
no income tax.
Yeah. And so
that's why if you go to Sunset Boulevard, even, you know, goes over, like, the silent film actors. They had so much money.
Yeah.
There was no income tax.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But back to the chess scene, Bethany, what was funny to me about that was if you looked on the faces of the Chicago guys, when they saw that chest of like a gazillion dollars come in, you know, they were thinking, where the hell did he get all this freaking money from?
Yeah.
Like that was the look that kind of registered on their face.
Those guys, yes. Jealousy.
Yes.
It's dangerous, like, to flaunt your wealth.
And when he met with all of them, he basically said, I'm no longer going to be, I'm giving it to Mr. Rothstein.
Mm-hmm. To upcharge you.
Right. And then he'll divvy it up to you bitches.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done. I'm above you all now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was interesting. And him and Rothstein, they've always kind of been on the same page.
Well, I think they've always thought of themselves as really above everybody else in the game.
But I also, you know, physically, they do share some similarities. Yes, they're very smart and bright, but physically they're weak men. They're not, you know.
They're thinkers.
They're right.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're in their head.
So they share that.
They're like intellectual superiors to the rest of the kind of thug, you know, kind of more physical guys.
I just love I love the Chicago thing. The same reason I like Rothstein with Meyer Lansky and who's the other Muppet baby? There. I'm sorry, I'm having a brain freeze.
Lucky Luciano.
Yeah, Lucky Luciano. I mean, the fact that those are real life characters and how they're going to grow, I'm so excited. Like, I just hope we get another 10 seasons of this show.
I think we will.
Yeah, I'm sure. It depends on money if they want to keep. Yeah.
It's such a hit. I can't imagine it going anywhere anytime soon.
And there's just so many historical kind of issues that they can keep kind of coming to the table that are going to be so relevant.
And so speak to today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So speaks to today.
Yeah.
But yeah, at this party, a lot goes on. We see, you know, Margaret take on the doctor.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll do something about it. I'll say something. And the doctor just in her house and with all her money, and he just has no problem slamming her down.
Shaming her.
Yeah, shaming her.
Fully. And she's smart enough to... when he asks who was the person, and it clearly was a young doctor, I believe. Yes. It was Dr. Thompson. Right. And she's like, he was an older gentleman.
Yeah, she wasn't going to throw him under the bus, which was, in that moment, God. I kind of respected her a little more, because she was wavering there for a minute earlier. And I think we saw kind of the consequence of what happens when you really do, a woman in this age is a health advocate.
Yeah.
You know, it comes with a price tag because Nucky ripped into her after the party about it. I mean, it was
and that's what's all revealed.
Yeah,
what's going on with them? You gave away our land.
Right.
You've made me into a philanthropist. Don't bring me into your crap anymore. And we see that in that one moment scene, and of course the next scene we see Nucky, you know, banging the singer. Mm-hmm. We see that there's a disconnect now between these two.
Clearly.
Where they used to be, like, they were really good friends at one time.
You know, what struck me was the scene when he's laying his head on the singer's lap, and he's like, oh, finally, this is the only place I can really rest my head. And you rewind back to, like, the first couple episodes of season one, where that was Margaret.
Right.
You know, she was the house he would come to for peace.
And right.
To, you know, be himself.
Yeah. And now, because maybe deep down he's not into the opiates. He's just a gangster. He's better at the speakeasy with the little room on the side where he can, you know, bang the little chippy. This Billy Kent, she said, call me Billy. I wonder if she's a historic figure, because Eddie Cantor was the singer, the guy singer with her.
I bet you she is.
Was real.
We should check that out. We can have some fun doing research.
Yeah, let's do some research. I actually knew Eddie Cantor's grandson. I worked on something with this guy, and I had no idea who Eddie Cantor was at the time. It was like, this was this guy's big claim to fame, and I'm like, who the hell's that? And now,
then you look it up, and you're like,
now this is like 10 years later, I'm like doing the show, and I'm like, wait, why did I know that name? I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool. So we see that now we know it seems like everything's set up.
Everything's set up. I love it that they could talk downstairs in the kitchen. That, you know, that would not happen today. I mean,
I still love that. Like, well, I don't even know. Is that a kitchen or is it like a basement?
It's a basement.
A basement that's set up for catering. And
is it?
Yeah.
Like a working pantry.
Kitchens used to be in the basement at one point in time. The only reason I know this is because I go through, like, anytime there's a historical home, I'm like, I'm going to take that tour.
Yeah, but you know what? I believe it, because in a big, big house with servants, they'll be down preparing the food, and they're going to bring it up.
They put it down there because I don't remember why exactly, but a lot of the times in old homes they are.
But we see Rossetti's role, but like we see Rossetti's just so, like, nobody is able to really control him.
Not at all.
It's only at the end where, but you know, Nucky stands his ground, and even Nucky's his Irish little henchman,
right?
You know,
got bitched.
He bitched him down. He's like, so it's we've talked about it. He's going to be formidable, but I think. And Remus, of course, speaks in the third person. Remus this, Remus that. Still doing all that stuff.
He's still kicking around.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, after New Year's Eve, going into 1923, it's all been laid out for us. Other than Eli and Nucky, which it's just a matter of time, probably, that we couldn't get them in. We'll see where they're up next week.
Yeah, this is why I wanted a two-hour show.
Right, to get them in. But I'm excited to see them next week. But, we know there's a disconnect between Margaret and Nucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We know that Nucky really just wants to step above and get closer to Warren Harding and politics. And, you know, he wants to put his nose above the filth.
Did you guys watch The Wire? At all?
You know, I didn't, but you know, someone just told me it's actually better than Breaking Bad. So
it's pretty excellent.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, Terrence and a lot of the other writers are from The Wire and stuff.
Oh.
And so, what's interesting is I'm now just seeing a parallel between the between Nucky, who's now trying to, like you say, elevate to more of a political aspirational place. There's a character in The Wire, Stringer Bell.
Okay.
Started off as a street level drug dealer and start taking night school business classes and wanted to kind of aspire to the more political.
To doing something.
Yes.
Well, we know Nucky always wanted politics, but then he had to become a, you know.
He lost his footing there for.
And he had to become a gangster. And now I just think he wants to be. It seems like, well, he's still a gangster because we know he's like, he has no problem. Now he's ordering kills and stuff. But it also seems like he doesn't want to mess around in the fray, because even when he went to Doyle's warehouse, they were like, oh my God, you're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, did you notice how the butcher, who was looked, everyone was on the same level. Manny was always on the same level with everyone. He, mm-hmm. Nucky was boss right. to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, oh, yeah. I didn't know the boss was coming. Right. Mm-hmm. So we see Nucky, we see his ascension. But which also means everyone's going to be coming at him this season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody.
As they should.
Oh, stop. Oh, why stop. Have to be like right.
that? No, no, do that, no. By the way, I mean,
love
like,
Nucky. I love him too. See? Like we're going to get along great.
I mean, it's just that's what they're all gaming for. They're all gaming for the position of power. And, you know, last season he lost it a little bit, and now he's got it back. So we gotta go through
the cycle
again.
You like
again.
Him too, right?
I adore. I'm the biggest. I want to be Mrs. Nucky Thompson. I'm next in line. Go
and by the way, yeah, no. And I just, and I also, I love his philosophies. I hope we can see a little bit of the empathetic side, like the side that right. used to talk to the kids mm-hmm. and he was trying to do right by them. And we see it when the kid said something. Yeah. He kept waking up New Year's Eve. Is it New Year's Eve yet? And you see the restraint on his face mm-hmm. that if he was totally lost, you'd be like, kid, get to bed. Or, but he's, you know, he still seems like. So hopefully we'll get to see the human side of Nucky, even if it's just a little bit, because that makes me like him more.
He needs to be a little bit nicer to his wife. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but she gave away all that. I mean, to the church, which to him,
I just
which,
love it.
Which is just as
you
much
love
of
that?
A.
She should have gotten. I don't advocate violence towards women at all, but she should have got a strong shake for
right?
that.
Giving away all that land.
Awesome. No. It just you know, I don't know. It just makes me laugh.
Well, I think it's great writing, but it's, you know, just kind of, he put a lot of work into that deal. And I mean, think of, you know, and again, you know, he just views the church as just another
con.
Corrupt. Exactly. It's just another con.
Yeah. Well, I think it really disturbed their connection, right? Because for the entire series, Margaret has been his kind of, she's got his back, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was the first time in a real big way. She didn't have them back at all.
No, it caused a disconnection. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, guys, we took up so much time. We'll have news and gossip next week, but let's get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, I think we're going to see Chucky and Eli.
Those are your predictions.
He's looking in the crystal ball.
Well done.
And we're going to see the rise of Rossetti. Obviously, we're really going to see what this guy's capable of.
I'm going to take a stretch and say that Jillian and Harrow are gonna really start duking it out shortly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, I know, but where's he going to work? Because he can't work for Nucky because Nucky killed Jimmy.
I mean, they're going to duke it out. They might come to an agreement, but I'm in the beginning stages of this prediction. They're going to not be so happy.
I think we're going to see Owen and Margaret again in the bed for sure.
Definitely. I agree with that.
I mean, yeah, I think we saw a little bit of it when she was doing the, hey, you know, wishes to Katie, but looking very mm-hmm. longingly at him. And then Nookie's doing his thing on the side. So,
Do you think Rosati and Margaret will get together?
Oh, because of the dog.
The dog. I mean, I'm still wondering.
You're right. The look from Nookie, what was that look about?
It was like, why are you talking to my wife?
Right?
That was the look.
I'm like, wait, does the dog have a bomb in it? Like, what is the...
Right. I don't know. If I had to choose between Nucky and...
All right, I know that. We know how you feel. But do you... But
between my Nucky. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. But that's interesting. And you know, it goes back to The Godfather about the Guinea charm and your olive oil looks. But he probably... He has a way with the women, but he didn't seem very sweet about it. He didn't be like, here's a present for you. It didn't seem like he was very romantic about it.
No, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there into the world. We'll see.
Ebony, what do you think?
I don't know. I just feel like her and Owen just have that homeland connection.
I agree.
So mm-hmm. I think that's where.
So
she's
It was more of a threat. Like, I know who your wife is. Yeah. That's what I took it as. Is that he looked at her like, oh God, this guy's a bad guy, and right. and.
I just don't want the dog to come to harm. That's all.
Right? I don't
that's
either.
All.
Right. You know why? Because you know we are such dog lovers. I know. Isn't that crazy? I'm the same way.
It really bothers me when like an animal gets hurt.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I know you're turning red, but I'm the same way because I have so many dogs, and I know you do too. So it's like it always freaks you out. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, you guys, I think we got a cue in that music there, Booth.
Very good.
Thank you. Well. I'm excited to be back next week.
I am. I'm ready for it.
So excited.
All right, how do we find you guys?
At Bethany with an IE or literarygirls.tumblr.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Ebony?
Oh, yeah. At Ebony, EBONI underscore K.
Ebony, Ebony underscore K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, that's easy. I can remember that. All right, you can't find me anywhere. Anyway, I'm so excited. You guys, please, questions and comments. I'm sure there's things we left out. I'm sure things we screwed up. We do our best 10 minutes after we see this. But let us know, and I'm sure you will, and get us up to speed. Bye.
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 From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Ebony, you'll learn that.
Oh.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.